Later on, we're going to be celebrating with Onyeka this special day. Looking forward to that very much. Amen. Give Onyeka a warm round. Now, it seems that there is a birthday theme going on today. Because not just is it Onyeka's birthday, but we've heard some whispers that it's also another person's birthday. So if it's your birthday today, can you stand up, please? Today, if today's your day, on your feet. Come on, Sarah, don't be shy. Let's give her a warm round. Sarah, come on down, please. Now, we don't like to embarrass anybody. We don't like to embarrass anybody. But we've got a little cake for you here. And we just want to really bless you. Bless you on this birthday. Now, Onyeka's, there's no surprises how old Onyeka is, because it says on here. But we won't be indiscreet and ask you how old you are. But all we want to do is sing happy birthday. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Sarah. Dear Sarah, happy birthday to you. Hey! Amen. Let's stretch out our hands to bless our sister. Heavenly Father, we pray today for your most rich and amazing blessing upon Sarah. We thank you for the years that you have given her. We thank you for the strength and health that you have given her. And we pray today an extra amazing blessing upon her life. And we pray, Lord, as she steps into a new year, that you be with her, powerfully working in her heart and through her heart. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Fantastic. Wonderful. A couple of things just wanted to mention for the benefit of people part of New Life. Just to say that next Sunday is our special Sunday. It's our food bank Sunday. Once a month, what we do is we bring along some items of food. Sabrina, can you just give us some examples? Milk, could just whiz through these quickly. Sugar, orange juice, soup, whiz through these. We've got some sauce. Your mouth's watering already, I can tell. Cornflakes. Just play that. Minced beef, sardines, fruit cocktails, Hartley's jam, Mork's biscuits, goodness me. And so next Sunday, if you can please bring some of those items along, what we do, Jan kindly gathers them up and she's going to take them to the Chalk Farm Food Bank. We're working together with other churches here in Camden. Food Bank is an amazing thing because what it does is it allows people who have not got food, rather than not have any food, nothing to eat, that they can come to this Christian food bank and receive food that enables them to be able to eat. And so it's a really practical response to many families, many individuals who are struggling at this time. And so if you could bring along some next week, that's fantastic. Leave them in the bags under the information table. We'll gather them up and Jan will take them to Chalk Farm Food Bank. And numbers of us here have been working at Chalk Farm Food Bank and it's been a really fantastic thing. So thank you everyone for all that you've done. Just a couple more things so I don't forget. I've got a little list here. Secondly, I just want to mention that not next week but the week after on the 8th, we're going to have Flame prize giving. So if you're in Flame, which is our primary school aged children's group, very special time. It's going to be a prize giving. Joe, come and tell us about the prizes. Want to hear a little bit about what are they, can they look forward to?
I've no idea what the prizes are yet because we haven't bought them. We haven't even done the tally, actually. We haven't counted up. But I have promised kids I will do it from the register because they feel that their books are slightly unreliable. They haven't all got the right numbers of stickers. So it will be completely, fraud proof. Because we did have trouble with children sticking on stickers from oranges and things, even drawing stickers into their books. So it will be taken from the register. We're doing a prize giving. And can I just say about the kids' groups, they're changing that week. So all the groups are sort of shuffling round. It's going to happen on the 8th. So not 1st of September, but on the 8th. So the Sunday after the kids have mostly gone back to school. Brilliant.
That's fantastic. Also on the 8th, so that's not this week, the week after, in the evening, we're celebrating with some of our folks that are getting baptized. And so in the evening, we're going to Chalk Farm Baptist Church, and we're celebrating some baptisms. So that's going to be 7 o'clock, not next week, but the week after, which is the 8th of September, where some of the folks at Chalk Farm are getting baptized too. So we're going to have a joint church, wonderful celebration of baptism. Looking forward to, I love baptisms. They're such a fantastic time. So if you haven't been baptized, want to be baptized, then just grab me at the end and we can sort that out. Fantastic. Now, the children that are preschool, are going to make a move now. So if you've got children that are preschool, Sabrina, where's Sabrina? If you wave your hand. If you want to make a move with her, we've got outside, we've got a little group that where we're going to have some activities for preschool children, because the other children are staying in. So if you're in primary, secondary school, we're staying in, because it's a special all-age time this morning. So if preschool children, now's the time to make a move. If you are in primary school or secondary school, I want to ask that you can make your way to the front, because we've got some incentives today for you on the front row. So move down, and parents, you can come with them, bring them down with you. Come and get a seat on the floor or a chair. Come down to the front, children. But if you come down to the front, we've got a lolly. If your parents will are happy with that, we've got a lolly to just to come and sit on the front here. Okay, we're going to start. We'll start this morning by having a reading from 2 Kings chapter 22, because we've been looking at a king of Judah called Hezekiah. And today we're continuing the theme about these amazing kings that we find in the Old Testament. And we're looking at his great-grandson, who's called Josiah. So I've asked some of the children to come and read. So could you come and line up down here? If you've got a piece of paper, number one here, number 11 down here. So come, number one can come over here. Number 11, can you go over there? Get yourself in order, 1 through to 11. Fantastic. Joe, if you could help me if they get stuck on any words. Okay, so this is what we've got here. We've got a kind of dramatized version of the passage that we're looking at today. It's the story in 2, if you want to follow in your own Bibles, it's 2 Kings 22. And it's the story of a very young king. It's a story of a king who was king when he was only 8 years old. Incredible, incredible. Put your hand up here, children. Who is 8? Is anybody 8? Okay. Could you imagine being queen? Well, I think she could, actually. Yes, definitely. Imagine being queen at just 8 years old. Amazing. Amazing. So what we're going to do is they're going to read out the story to help us visualize what happened in this time in the history of Judah. So we're ready with number one. So when the person on your left reads, then it's your turn to read. Okay, we'll go along. Just take the lollipop out your mouth while you're reading that particular bit. If you get stuck on the words, don't worry, we'll give you a hand. Okay, I'll pass the microphone along.
Long ago in Jerusalem, there was a boy called Josiah who was 8 years old. One morning, he woke to find that he was the new king. His dad and his granddad had not been very good kings because they caused people to go away from God and to worship idols.
But he decided that he did not want to be like his father or grandfather, but instead to be like his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, who was King David.
He wanted people to love God, so first he had to get rid of idols from his kingdom. So he tore down every altar that had been built to idols.
Then after that, he started repairing the temple, God's house of worship, which had not been used for a long time and started to fall down.
He made two people in charge of repairing the temple. One was Shaphan, the scribe, and the other Hilkiah, the high priest.
While this repair work was going on, Hilkiah was the first priest, found something amazing in the temple. It was book of the law, which was the first five books of the Bible. It had been lost for years.
Hilkiah the priest took the book to Shaphan the scribe, who hurried to the king and began reading it to him.
The king was glad at first, but as the scribe kept on reading to him, the king became very sad because he realized that God's people had not been doing what God wanted them to do.
Josiah sent a message to the prophet living in Jerusalem, a woman called Huldah, to find out what God wanted them to do.
King Josiah, his people, men, women and children, to meet him in the temple of the Lord, and there he will read to all the people the words of the book that had been found.
Joshua and all the people promised that they would change and follow God's instructions that they had read in the Bible.
Give them a clap. Well done. Go and have a seat. Sit down over here, guys. Go sit down over there. Fantastic. Well done, guys. That was awesome. Fantastic. So there's our story. There's our story today. And it's this amazing story of Josiah. And it reminded me, the story of Josiah reminded me of another occasion a lot more recently than that, where a book, the Bible, was found. It had been hidden, it had been lost, and it was found in a cave in Israel. We have a picture of the Dead Sea. This is the cave near the Dead Sea. Now, last year, I visited this cave. I didn't actually go inside it, but took this picture of the cave, which is right, it's Qumran, it's right near the Dead Sea. And the story was that in 1947... a shepherd boy was looking after his goats, and one of them wandered off. And so he went in search of this lost goat. He came to these caves, and he wondered, did the goat manage to get inside there? Maybe he was inside. So what he did is he got a stone, and he threw it into the cave. He got no response. Thought, cheeky goat, I'll try again. So he threw another stone into the cave. He thought, well, I'm sure he's in there. So the third time he threw a stone, and he heard a smash. He heard a smash, and he thought, what is that? It's obviously not the sound of a goat. And so they investigated, look, and when he went inside, he found that his stone had hit an earthenware jar. It had hit a huge jar, clay jar, and smashed the jar. Inside was a scroll, and that scroll was part of the Bible. And they, over many years, they looked in those, not just that cave, but caves in that area, and found very, very old copies of the Bible that hadn't been found for many, many years. And that story reminded me of this story that we're looking at today, the story of Josiah, because we've just heard a little bit about what happened to Josiah. Of course, what happened to Josiah happened a long time before what happened in these Dead Sea Scrolls. But we've just heard the story. I'm going to show you now a short video. And the video, what the video will do is it will give us the highlights of the story.
What's it like to be 8 years old? If you're 8, you're in school, right? You live with your parents, your brothers, your sisters. Maybe you even have a pet. You probably spend a lot of time hanging out, playing video games and watching TV. And probably you don't have a job. But what if you're 8 and one day you're crowned king? How do you think you'd feel about that? The Bible tells the story of a boy named Josiah, who became king when he was only 8. King of Judah, the boss of the country, just 8 years old. Joe lived in a palace in Jerusalem, and that palace was probably very cool. You know, lots of rooms, totally awesome stuff, Michael Phelps Olympic-sized pool, you get the idea. But the palace wasn't the most important building in Jerusalem. That was the temple. The temple was where the people worshiped God. When Joe got older, no, older than that, hold on, not that old, about 26, he noticed that the temple was in bad shape. Its walls were crumbling, the roof leaked, It was cold and drafty. You get the idea. Because Joe loved God, he commanded that the temple be repaired. King's orders. Joe told his people to gather up all the money that was collected, and they gave it to the carpenters and builders and artists and plumbers so they could repair and restore the temple, right? So these guys got right to work building and fixing and repairing. While all this work was going on, one of the builders came across something hidden inside the walls of the old temple. It was a book. Not just any book. A sacred book of God's rules, which had been lost for years and years. It was the Bible. The Bible was brought to King Joe right away. But when Joe read this book, his face turned green and he fell to the ground. He even tore his clothes. But why was Joe so upset? He was upset because he realized that everyone in Judah, including him, was not living in the right way. That is, God's way. They weren't keeping the rules that God gave them in the first place. Joe needed to change all that, and quick. So he called a big meeting for all the people, and they met at the temple. And Joe read to them, straight from the Bible, all of God's rules. Then, right in front of God and everyone, Joe made a promise to follow God and to keep God's rules forever. And all the people did the same. And just to be sure all the people understood how important this was, Joe cleaned up the whole land, all across the country. Any statues or figures, any altars or shrines for any other fake gods were smashed and crushed and burned and chopped and beaten into dust. From then on, everyone followed the one true God. After that was finished, Joe threw a big party, a festival to celebrate these changes. He invited everyone. Lots of food and cake, lots of singing and dancing and worship to God. This celebration went on for 7 days. That's an entire week. Whew, now that's some party. Okay, so why is this important anyways? What does it mean for us?
Okay, that's the question. What does it mean for us? We've heard the story acted out or read out. We've seen the story dramatized for us. What does it mean for us? It's the story of how one book changed everything. In finding that one book, in finding the Bible, it changed absolutely everything for the king and all the people. The book was there all the time. The book was there, it was just hidden, it was dusty, it was buried, it wasn't read. Just three things that this story can mean to us. Firstly, that they all begin with the letter R. And the first thing is that Josiah, when he heard the Bible, he respected the Bible. Secondly, when he heard the Bible, the Bible was found, he read the Bible. And finally, he responded to the Bible. So firstly, he respected the Bible. We saw just in that short video what happened when he heard the Bible read. He tore his clothes, and that was a very extreme thing to do. It was a way of saying, what I've heard is really affecting me. What I heard has really struck me. What I've heard has really impacted my life. So he tore his clothes just to show how important it was what he heard. But secondly, he read the Bible. He read it a lot. So he knew what God wanted him to do. I'm going to ask Matthew to come and tell us a little bit about his experience of reading the Bible recently.
Thank you. I've always known that reading the Bible every day is very important. But since Soul Survivor, I've had a new hunger for reading it regularly. I've read it as much as I can because it can help me grow in my faith with God and teach me how to live my life to please God. Lately, I've been reading 1 Samuel 28. And what has encouraged me was reading about a young man called David. Now, David was not a warrior or an experienced leader, but his faith in God helped him through every situation. One story that I'm sure you're familiar with is the story of David and Goliath. One day, David's father sent him to bring food for his brothers, who were fighting in a war against a tribe called the Philistines. The Philistines had a mighty warrior called Goliath, who was a giant. He mocked God's people and made a deal that if anyone could kill him, all of the Philistines would surrender. But all of God's people were very afraid, and no one volunteered. When David arrived, he heard Goliath step out from his lines and shout what he shouted every day. Choose a man and have him come down to me. if he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. And if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Saul the king had promised a big reward to any man who could defeat Goliath. And one of Saul's friends overheard David saying, "Let no one be afraid of this Philistine. I will go and fight him." So Saul the king called David to speak with him and said, "You are only a young shepherd, and this man has been a soldier all his life. How could you defeat him?" But David replied, "I have killed both lions and bears. This man will be like one of them, because he has made fun of the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paws of the lion and the paws of the bear will rescue me from the hands of this Philistine." So with God on his side, David marched out to fight Goliath. He didn't have a sword or any armor. All he had was a sling. But David was not afraid. He picked up a small, smooth stone and flung it right into the middle of Goliath's forehead, and Goliath fell to the floor. Now, all of us here have faced challenges and difficulties. And I think David's situation was pretty difficult. And if he hadn't trusted God to help him, I don't think he would have won that battle. I faced many battles in my life, not battles with guns and swords, but battles inside where the devil tries to attack me and put me down or make me sad. Now, I'm sure that all of you here have faced the same kind of thing. But when the devil attacks you, what do you do? Often in the past, I've tried to fight by myself, just as Goliath did. And I'm sure that David also knew there was no chance he was going to defeat Goliath without God on his side. But the greatest thing to remember is that the same God who fought for David is the one who fights for us too. What I've learnt is that when I'm struggling with a difficult situation or something that I'm worried about, I just remember what David did. He trusted God. For God can only help us when we let him. And although God loves us so much and is desperate to come into our lives, he doesn't force his way in. He gives us the choice. I have found that the Bible teaches us that whatever my struggle is, if I give it to God, he will take it and fix it. In Romans 8:28 it says, "All things work for the good of those who love God. All things work together for the good of those who love God." This means that whatever happens in our life, if we give it to God, he takes it and turns it into something good in his plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthew. Let's all stand together, shall we, just for a moment, just to finish off with, it's a tremendous challenge what we looked at today, this challenge of reading the Bible, respecting the Bible, but also responding to the Bible. Encouragement for us all today is to continue to read, but not just to read, but to do what it says. So let's pray and ask that God would help each one of us to respond to what he says to us through his word.
Yes, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us this book so we can live for you each day. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to use this book and have a new hunger for this book when we go home today. I pray that for all of us, no matter what age we are, Lord Jesus, today we would know you in a new way, Lord Jesus, because of what you've given us, because of your word. I thank you, Lord, that you are so glorious and you are so good, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would change our life because of what you did. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these stories in the Bible, but they're not just stories. They actually happen, Lord Jesus. And I thank you so much for that, and that you helped David through this situation. You helped Josiah, Lord Jesus, to change his heart and change this nation. Lord, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can each change our own part of our lives, Lord Jesus, Lord. And you want to each make each of us nation changes, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would raise us up, Lord Jesus, because of this new hunger. And we'd be able to know you in a new way today, Lord Jesus. And we'd be able to live throughout this next year, Lord Jesus, to live for you, I pray, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you just grab a seat, please? Fantastic. Wonderful. Well, it's lovely today to be together. And we're celebrating with Onyeka. We're going to have lunch afterwards. So thank everyone that's brought lunch. There's a load of lunch just cooking away there. I can see all the red lights on as it's all warming through, getting ready. We'd like to really honour and bless and pray for our dear sister. So what I'd ask, Onyeka, is if you would come down the front. As you do, could everyone really clap and cheer and bless her? Amen! Oh! Amen! Oh!
God bless you.
It's such a special birthday. I love birthdays. I love special birthdays, and today it's such a special time. Onyeka, we were just talking on the way, I was talking to some of your friends, and we couldn't believe it was really 60. We thought you were joking. We couldn't believe it, because you're looking so well, so healthy, so full of God's life and God's strength. And we know that today it's a new chapter, it's something new things. And we really gather together, your friends, your church family, your friends have gathered here today to say we love you, that we're with you, and it's a privilege to be journeying down this path as Christians, as fellow Christians on this path together. It's wonderful that we're not on our own. It's wonderful we're not just struggling on, but we're surrounded by our natural family and our spiritual family. And today, Onyeka, we want you to know we love you very, very much. Amen. Now, I know a number of people want to express a little bit of love for you, so I'm going to ask Barbara to express a little bit.
We're going to make you cry for sure today. I think New Life there's lots of people in New Life who really spend their lives serving God and loving God, and their walk is with God is an inspiration to us. And Onyeka, you're one of those people. And today we really want to say how much we appreciate that you're part of our family, and for your friends and relatives also, that you're, you know, I'm sure that they would echo that they are part of, that you're part of their family. And we really want to celebrate God's faithfulness to you today. And we know that, Onyeka, you've faced more than your fair share of difficulties and hardships in this life. And I think it's very true what we were saying, what the preaching was about today, about, you know, when difficult times come our way, who do we turn to? And I think you're a very good example of that. Something that's really struck me about your life is how you don't complain, but you press on and you look to God for your strength. And I think we all know that if you ask Onyeka how she's doing and she says, praise God, you know it's a really bad day. Because if she can't think of anything else to say, she'll just say, praise God. But she never moans and complains. She's honest, but she doesn't moan and complain. And I've been amazed to watch God work in your life, because as you praise him and as you press on and as you are thankful for the things that he does do, you have some amazing testimonies. And we've been privileged to be part of the miracles that God has done in your life. Some amazing things. And something else that strikes me is when we're in the meeting and sometimes I hear you singing and it's just your whole heart is singing, you know, How Great Is Our God is a particularly good one of yours. And I just realize when I hear you that God really does heal the brokenhearted and how faithful he is as we lean on him. And for me, that gives me a real hope for the things that I'm pressing on for. And when I'm finding it hard to hold on or believe that God really cares or really will work in my situation, I'll hear you singing or I'll hear your testimony. And it really inspires me to keep going. And I think I speak for everyone here today in saying how that inspires us, your walk with God, and how faithful he is. I think... you know, like the famous woman in Proverbs 31, you're a woman of prayer and of faith, but also you're a real grafter. And it inspires me that you work so hard in your work, your paid work, and things are not easy in our jobs, are they? And haven't been easy for you, but you've continued to serve God. You've looked to minister his love to your colleagues and your friends and your patients. And I know you pray for your patients, and God gives you a real heart for them. And that has really inspired me that to be a light in the world. So, you know, thank you so much. And I think... that we really, you know, want to join with you in this, you know, as you're looking at a new season in your life. I know you're not planning on putting your feet up, But, you know, the more time you have on your hands, the more you intend to do with it. And that's another thing that's really inspiring to me, that you're not thinking, I'm going to put my feet up and retire, but you're thinking, what's in the next season? I'm going to do more than I did before. So, you know, we really pray for strength and for good health and for God's provision, that you will, you know, like the Proverbs 31 woman, she laughs at the future because she knows that God is with her and she has the strength that he's pouring into her for every day. And, you know, we pray for that provision for you, for all that he has for you in the future, you know, that you'll reach out your arms to the poor and the needy and continue to serve him and be really effective in this next season.
I'm going to let you sit down on here. Would you like that? Paul asked me to, if I do a little tribute, but I'm not really going to do that on Yeka. There's so many things that I could say. Barbara's done a pretty good job on that already. And it's just been a privilege and lovely having you in our part of the family. We feel just very privileged. And so what I've done is I've managed to gather a few people who would like to say maybe just one thing that they really appreciate about you. I know you won't enjoy this on Yeka, but we're going to do it just the same. And if you're going through a hard time, at least you'll remember some of the nice things that people said. So who's going? Let me get them all out. Dan, Danny, Vi, Sandra, Michelle, and then Mercy's going to finish it all off. Fantastic. Wonderful. Danny, why don't you just kick things off? What? Perhaps, I don't know whether you'll say the same things you said to me when I said, when you think about Onyeka, what makes you smile?
The first thing I said was food. Straight away. I love her. I love this woman. She spoils me. Yeah, okay. I'll leave my house and my mum will ask where I'm going. And she'll go, actually, I know where you're going. You're going to your mum's house, which is her house, right? I'll come in, I get house shoes, I get sent to the sitting room, I put the Simpsons on. 5 minutes later, food in the kitchen, and food to the point where this looks like that top, maybe. We chill together, we talk, and then we pray, and she covers me in the most wonderful prayers. Sometimes really has picked me up in like from dark places, so I really appreciate it.
Okay. We love Onyeka, as everyone does, and we've got a little gift here, and it's a tin of royal biscuits, and it's got a baby's pram on it, and Onyeka spends her whole life looking after babies in the church and as a health visitor. Nick asked me if I could think of one thing to say, but I've expanded it a bit, but it is one thing with a bit of a frill. So the first letter is F, and it's Onyeka is family to us. She treats everybody as if they're part of her family, with genuine love towards people. She never, you know, I never feel like I'm a stranger to Onyeka, and even a new person in the church is gathered in seconds. And she's got a big heart. Okay, and then the next letter. Sorry about this. Like Blue Peter, prepared in advance. Is R. She is reliable and really great. And as you go on as a Christian in the church, I think one of the most important things is reliable. If Onyeka says she's going to be there or do something, then she does. So you can just totally trust in Onyeka. Okay, now we've got another one. We've got I. Onyeka is in love with Jesus and full of Jesus. And we've got an E. Can you see what word it's going to become? E. Onyeka is enthusiastic about life, about Jesus, about everybody and everything. She's energetic. She's got lots of energy. She's effervescent. She's fizzing Jesus all over the place. And she's ever ready, like the battery. She'll do anything at the drop of a hat. She turned up at my house when I was moving on Friday. And within seconds, she was driving to Swiss Cottage to get me an electric key for the meter. You know, no bother. And N, she's she's naughty and nice. She spoils us all, so she's a bit naughty. And she's very funny with her humour. And she's very, very nice. I know it's a bit of a weak word, but it begins with N. And she is D. She's devoted to the church and all of us. And she's a darling to everyone. And the word is friend. So that's what she is.
Just before Vita said, where's Monica? Yes, you fell off my list.
Right. Monica, this is a special day for me. But I remember the first time I ever spoke to you, and you just said thank you for... I was really telling you something about my past, and you said thank you for talking to me about it. And it's sort of stuck with me now that, as a friend, I've always been able to rely on you. You've always come for me. You pick me up every Sunday, or more or less whenever you can. And it's been a great pleasure to know you as a friend. And the one thing that I can say, which would go back, I could rely on you as your star. A star you see sometimes, but you sometimes don't see them, but they're always there. And that friends you. Thank you.
Thanks. Onyeka, I remember when I first came to the church and you really encouraged me. You used to take me to Chalk Farm and you just really encouraged me. But I hope I can just read, something just small? Just small. And this sums you up because you are full of love. You are completely full of love. It's not long, it's from 1 Corinthians 13, and this is you. You are patient. You are kind. You do not envy. You never boast. You are not proud. You do not dishonest others. You're not self-seeking. You're not easily angered. You keep no record of wrongs. And you do not delight in evil, but you rejoice with the truth always. And you always protect, always trust, always hopes, and you always persevere. Thank you. Thank you.
Onyeka, I appreciate you so much. We meet and we pray, Onyeka and I and Sandra, regularly. And sometimes at the end of the week, I'm tired. And I don't particularly feel like it. But coming to Onyeka or meeting with Onyeka, it just is such an encouragement and such a blessing. And you're such a woman of prayer. And I've seen, as we've said before, I've seen how you've held on to God. I've seen how you've had difficulties, but you've been patient and you've waited and we've prayed and you've prayed and prayed and prayed and we've seen God answer. And it's such a blessing and an encouragement. And I know that God is going to continue to work in your life in these coming years. So thank you for everything you've done and for being a friend.
I'm sure that there are lots and lots of you that can think of many things, and we're not going to have the opportunity to do that, but there's one has sneaked up here, NK, who couldn't resist.
Antonia, sorry, I don't want to cry. You've been everything to everyone. You've been everything to me and my family. I don't know where to start. I just want to say thank you so much. You're such a blessing, and he who waters will themselves be watered. I just pray the blessings of God upon you now and for the rest of your life. You've been through so much, but you're not on your own. Every step of the way, God is there. And we, your spiritual family, not just spiritual family, I'm part of your family, physical family. That's how I see myself, because you've been there in all the things that I've been through. You know it all. But you have never judged me. You've just always been there for me, just like the first person's book, Food. Yes. And just like V said, every Sunday we finish church, you're looking for my son and I to take us home. I don't know what more to say, but just thank you so much. Thank you. God will continue to bless you. And happy birthday. Thank you.
You can sit down, Onyeka. You can sit down for my bit. I can't. There's so many things that I could say, which I won't say. You guys have said a lot. I love you, Onyeka. And Onyeka's been a fantastic friend to me and Joe and to our family. I think that, you know, the my son particularly, who most of you hardly know exist, but if there's one person he wouldn't mind bumping into, it would be Onyeka, just because she's just, she doesn't judge, she loves him, and she always brings along food. Those poff-poffs, fantastic. Joe would say what a blessing Onyeka has been with the children, just faithfully. But when I said to Joe, if there's one thing that you could think about Onyeka, she had exactly the same word as I had, which is one that hasn't really been mentioned, spirituality. And I had exactly the same word in my mind, spirituality. I once knew an old man of God who said to me these words. He said, leadership is in the spirit. And that makes you a leader, Onyeka, because, it's so encouraging when you find someone who is spiritually hungry, somebody who wants to pray. Usually if I'm asking Onyeka whether she can come to something or rather, the reason she can't come is she's going to a prayer meeting. Scattered around the place. She has these praying friends. And that, you know, nothing can substitute for that, to find a person with a real hunger to pray. I believe that Onyeka is a real Jesus person. Yes, she loves us. Yes, she loves the church. We're privileged to have her as part of New Life. But first is him. And I respect and love that in her. So, Mercy is going to gather up the crumbs and add one or two things of her own. And then we're going to pray.
Onyeka, where am I going to start from? I think what everyone said, it shows, it's testament to the person that you are. And first of all, I just want to thank you on behalf of my family, in case it has, how you've been there from the start. With all the three children, you never failed to turn up at the hospital. As soon as I had them, you were there. The last one, I needed someone to be around, and you just turned up at the nick of time. And I just want to say thank you so much for that, for being such a wonderful person. You're there for everyone, you know. Everywhere there's a need, you're there to fulfill that need because of Christ who is in you. And I just want to say, on behalf of everyone, on behalf of the church, your friends, family, just a big thank you. It's funny because I've got royal blue on the balloons and your cake. And Michelle gave you some biscuits that's got royal whatever it is that's written on it. It just shows that God has crowned you with a lot of glory, and it shows in you. Every Sunday, you're picking people up, dropping them off. You're clearing up, you're picking up the rubbish, You never complained once. And, you know, today we're celebrating your 60th birthday. I don't even do half as much, you know, of what you do for the church. And, yeah, I just want to say thank you, really, on behalf of the church. And also, to give you this present, everyone's contributed, and, you know, just to show how much we love you. And, you know, to say thank you for everything, really.
I wonder if we could light the candles now, sorry, and we could sing Happy Birthday. It'd be lovely to bless, and we're going to pray in a moment, but to bless her, let's have the candles lit. Has anyone got a match? Fantastic. It's lovely cake, it says Onyeka on the cake. We couldn't fit the 60 candles on there, I'm sorry about that. Here we go. Armin's going to lead us.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Onyeka. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yay! Oh! Yay! Fantastic. Fantastic. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Sorry, can I just say, do you know the meaning of Onyeka? Onyeka, who is greater than God? Onyeka Chukwu. Nobody is greater than God. That's her name. So, and she's living up to it. She's living up to it. She's a wonderful lady. She's a wonderful, she's not only touching hearts here, she's touching hearts back home in Nigeria. She's done so much. She goes running around finding things, sending home, and then helping people down there. She is such a wonderful lady. I can only thank her. And God continue to bless you. She never complains.
Thank you. Shall we all stand together and stretch out our hand of blessing towards our dear sister Onyeka? Nick and I are going to pray. If there's something you feel in your heart, then during the lunch, please find Onyeka, spend time talking to her, praying with her, ministry. We've got plenty of time as we're having lunch today, just for each of us to spend a little bit of time with Onyeka. Nick and I are going to pray on your behalf, but please, please grab her later on as we're having the meal and just bless her. Just say what's on your heart specifically for her. Stretch out our hands, shall we have blessing? Father, what a privilege it is to be gathered, friends, family, church family here today, gathered to celebrate with our dear sister. And Lord, we want together, we're stretching out our hands, symbolizing blessing. We're calling on you, we're praying, we're asking. Heavenly Father, would you pour out such an amazing blessing upon her life that it would fill her, that it would overflow her, that it would overtake her, and that it would flow out from her for the years, the many years that lie ahead. Lord, we know this is not near the end. This is just a step on the path that you have for her. And Lord, we pray today for many years of health. We pray today for many years of fruitful ministry and service for you. We pray, Lord, for many years where she will continue to be blessed. And we together here as your people, we're asking, Lord, would you pour out upon us such a blessing?
Yes, Lord, we thank you. We've heard many things, Lord, and how Onyeka has scattered your kindness into the lives of so many of us, Lord, without any blowing of a trumpet or receiving or looking for praise, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for her kindness. Thank you for her perseverance, Lord. Thank you for her example. Thank you, Lord, that you are Ebenezer. We can say thus far, the Lord has helped us. And helped Onyeka, Father, how we've seen you in hard times, Lord. Father, come and be her helper. But we thank you that you are also Jehovah Jireh, the supplier of all our needs, Lord. And Father, we're looking to you for the future. We don't know what it holds, Lord, but you do. And we are with Onyeka, Lord, and we are praying, Father, that you will continue to use her. Father, we pray that you would protect her, Lord. We pray that you would guide her very clearly with your hand, Lord. Father, we pray that you would protect her, even from her own kindness, Lord. Father, and guide her feet so carefully in these days to come, Lord. And Father, we pray for your richest blessing. We pray as she has been so useful to you at this point, Lord, that she would be even more useful in your hands, Lord. That, Father, your anointing would be upon her life, Lord, that when she is kind, that there would be an extra touch of your kindness upon her kindness, Lord. Oh God, we pray, would you give her strength, Lord? Father, as the days and years go by, Lord, would she find that she has renewed strength? Father, as she flies like that eagle, Father, and mounts up in prayer to you, Lord, would you give her new strength, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. Would you grab a seat, please? Fantastic. We're going to share lunch together in a moment. Right behind you, there is an information point. And so that's the point at which to line up around there, down here, and then to go. There's a main course down there, and then there's a desserts over here. Please spend some time. Grab Onyeka when you can to bless her this lunchtime, because we've got time together to do that. Children, can I just say, parents, if you could just ask the children, could just take 3 items of food to start with. They can go back and get some more, but just so that we don't waste food, just some of the children take loads and then don't eat it. So we're going to be able to do that. We're going to say grace together. Children, shh. Some of the children, shh. Can you come and sit down, please? Shh. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing provision. Thank you for this wonderful food. Thank you for everyone who's worked so hard to prepare it. And we pray your blessing on us as we spend fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn around to the person behind you. Shake their hands. Say, hi, welcome, my name is. Would you like to come for some lunch? And then head off to go and get some lunch.